Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost.
The same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving one a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff, you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a housekeeper always has interesting stories about the hotel where she works. A young woman dreads babysitting for her best friend, and it's not the child that's the problem. Could a long-term illness be the result of a paranormal attack? Also, was it something paranormal that saved a small child from falling into an irrigation ditch? Those stories and more on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I am good. How are you?
Just before we got on the air here, I read about something quite amazing.
Okay.
That, and this is not an ad or anything like that. I found it quite amazing. Picture this. Everyone loves a quesadilla.
Uh-huh.
It's cheese and a tortilla and meat sometimes. A Kit Kat quesadilla.
With cheese?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
With what?
That's it. I think it's Kit Kat between a tortilla. This is something that I saw the Taco Bell is coming out with.
That sounds gross.
It kind of does. Oh, they have the Choco Taco that has that's like a chocolate ice cream bar type thing. But
that's gross. A Choco Taco is different.
This would be really messy, I'm thinking. You know, just be dripping chocolate. I can't imagine this being something that will work out well.
No.
So many strange ideas.
I like the little cinnamon crisps. That's the only thing I like from Taco Bell.
The twist things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There used to be one called Cinnamon Crispas when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
And they were giant tortilla chips that were like that. And I liked those better than the twists, mm-hmm. but those went away circa 1987
right.
or so.
I remember those.
Yeah. They just brought those back. I think the world would be a lot better place to live in.
Maybe.
It would just change everything. It's like, oh my God, can you believe Cinnamon Crispas? It's led to world peace. They're one step away, but they just always keep coming up with weirder stuff. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on. Helps us grow in those rankings. So thank you in advance for that if you've already done it. Let's go to our first story here. Marlena writes in. All I can think of is the song from the 1999 from, gosh, who was it? Who does Wallflowers? 1, 2, 3 Marlenas. Remember 1, 2, 3 Marlenas?
No.
Not really much of a hit, but around 1, 2, 3 Marlenas.
No, I don't remember that.
Three people remember it.
Okay.
And I just brought it back and it'll be stuck in your head all day. You're welcome. Hello, I've written to you before about my sister's mother and I being hexed by my oldest sister's grandmother. I just want to share a couple of our smaller experiences. Again, I do feel that the hex was placed on my small family, and these are just some of the things that I feel have found their way to us. My mom used to work at a well-known hotel here in Scottsdale, Arizona, which has now been converted to what I believe are either condominiums or another resort. When my mom worked there years ago, she was in the housekeeping department. I remember my mom used to come home early, freaked out from things that would happen to her at work. Once she came home and told us that they had gotten a call that a certain room needed towels. My mother and one of her coworkers went to the room to deliver the towels, and they then realized that the room was vacant and was already ready. This happened quite often to all the departments, not only housekeeping. Another time, my mom told me that she was cleaning some rooms and she heard that someone was whistling as she was arriving to one of the rooms. The rooms on that side were supposed to be vacant, but she figured maybe someone had gotten lost. She heard someone say, "I need help finding my way around." My mom doesn't know English too well, but she figured she could help the lady. She kept looking around but didn't see anyone. She heard whistling coming from upstairs. And the way the layout was, she went out further into the middle of the area. It was a plaza-like area, and looked up everywhere and still didn't see anyone. She told the lady, "I'm here, I can help you, where are you?" She heard the lady reply, "I'm here by the restrooms, I'm coming around." The restrooms were literally around the hotel room that she was going to clean on the first floor, so she made her way towards the lady's voice as she was finishing telling her where she was. When my mom turned the corner, she said she was so close to the lady that it felt like she was going to run into her as she was still finishing her sentence, but when she turned the corner, there was nothing there. My mom looked around, but there was no one around. My mom freaked out, ran back to the housekeeping office. These are just some of the occurrences that happened to the employees of this hotel. There are many, many more stories, but these are just a few I remember my mom telling me while she worked there. Also, just to add, there have been deaths on this land, again, from what she told. And no, I haven't thought much of investigating it further, but the land itself is said to be an Indian burial ground. My mother worked there. There are at least four incidents where I remember she told us how people were murdered, found dead, or committed suicide in the hotel. So there have been many deaths in the short period she worked there, which was about 6 years. Well, this is the end of this story. I'll write to you again later. Love the podcast. Hope I can become an EPP soon, as I'd love to listen to more stories. And thank you to you and Jenny for creating this podcast, and to all the listeners for letting us tell our stories. P.S. Somewhat off topic, I have a theory that I'd like to share with you and hear your thoughts. I believe that sensibility is like any other sense, like hearing, smelling, seeing, etc. I believe that everyone carries this sense, but like hearing and seeing, there are people that have better senses than most. So like seeing, most people can see, but there are those that are completely blind or need glasses, etc. Therefore, people that are considered more sensitive is because their sensitivity is stronger than most, and people that sensitivity isn't so much in tune still will sometimes experience paranormal occurrences. It can happen to anyone, whether a believer or not. That's why you see so many people that were skeptical that later changed their minds if their sensitivity worked that day. And sometimes still are skeptics after an experience because their sensitivity isn't so much in tune and will probably never experience anything again. I don't know for sure, of course, but from what I've learned and experienced, this is what I believe in. That's why children are considered more sensitive. But usually that's when any person has better eyesight, hearing, etc. Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys.
I agree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense as to, you know, why some people are more sensitive than others. It's mm-hmm. just like anything else. It's why I have shitty eyesight and others don't. Mm-hmm. It's just the person that I am.
And I agree with the children thing where mm-hmm. it's stronger and everything for the most part works better
when you're young.
New.
Uh-huh.
And then everything kind of just goes downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that makes a lot of sense. Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should start doing tests for ghosts with children in school. They do like hearing tests and eyesight tests. They should do something with paranormal.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's time for the sensitivity test to see how in tune they are with the paranormal, and go to the counselor's office, and you have like, you know, two teachers that are playing with the Ouija board, and then the kids have to see if they're sensing the spirits that are showing up in the other room. But you still have to wear those really old headsets. You know, the old, ear headsets.
And then raise your hand for which side you feel something on.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And the big metal things, and they're just, yeah. You got to sit in a little room, a little box that's just really built out of, what was that stuff? You know, this the walls that had all the little holes in them. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you can hang things on it. It's like the board out here in our we put up to hang our crap on.
Pegboard.
Like a pegboard.
Okay.
There was always like pegboard walls that I remember, like sitting in the room where we did the sound test. It's like sitting at a little booth and it's have like pegboard all around you.
I don't remember that.
That's what we had.
Okay.
Anyway, would you like to hear what we're going to be having for dinner in soon?
Okay.
Very soon.
Sure.
Chicken and stewed white beans with thyme breadcrumbs. It looks very fallish.
Okay.
Bordering on winterish. Spicy broccoli and fusilli pasta, like Fusilli Jerry, with mascarpone cheese and I can never say this word correctly, so I'll attempt it. Calabrian chili paste.
Okay,
is that right?
I don't know.
I think it's right. I always put the B and the L in the wrong spots. Spicy chicken khao soi with coconut milk and crispy wonton noodles.
Okay.
All items from Blue Apron, which you could be having these items for your dinners as well. Check out this week's menu. Check out the upcoming week's menus. There's more than ever to choose from than ever before. It's super easy. Just go to blueapron.com, check out this week's menu, and get $30 off your first order with free shipping at blueapron.com/ghost. We love Blue Apron. We've been using it well before they ever were a supporter of our show. For less than $10 a person, you can get a meal that's absolutely delicious. You choose your meals. They send them to you along with recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals so easy. It's flexible. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. They will have something for you. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs, what day, time, all that stuff. No weekly commitments, so you can only get the deliveries when you want them. It's especially convenient, I think, around the holidays here. We're all busy, maybe going to the grocery store, not exactly on your to-do list. This stuff just shows up on your porch. You can make a home-cooked meal, not have to go out to eat again. And trust me, it's going to taste so much better than going out. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost. You'll love how good it feels, taste, create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Carrie Ann says, hi, Tony and Jenny. About 12 years ago, one of my best friends, whom I'll call D, had moved into a brownstone in an old city. The city itself was one of the first to be founded in southern New Jersey in the 1600s and was called New London. The original cobblestone roads are still intact in some places, as well as the first church and cemetery. The oldest headstone I found dates to the mid-1700s. Dee lived in the home with her husband and their infant son. We were still young at the time, between the ages of 19 and 21, so sleepovers and girls' nights were still very much a part of our lives. And when Dee and her husband needed a night out or had to work late, I was more than happy to babysit. I hated being there at night alone, though. After putting the baby to bed, I'd sit in the living room and watch TV. I could see through the dining room to the back of the house from where I sat. I typically left the lights off in a room that I'm not using to conserve energy. But at this house, I got into the habit of leaving the hallway lights on. I never saw anything out of the ordinary or had a feeling of being watched from the hallway, as if I wasn't trusted to be in the house. Behind me to my right were the stairs. At the top of the stairs to the left was the baby's room. But the first thing you see when reaching the top landing was an extra room. The room wasn't in use and I think was used as a storage room or office, and since all the doors had windows from top to bottom, you could see what was in the rooms without needing to go in. Anytime I went upstairs to check on the baby, I feared that extra room. I hated it. Could not even look at it. Kept my head down anytime I had to pass the door. In my mind, I had a vision of a small child standing behind the glass with her hands cupped around their eyes as if to peer outside watching me. I chalked all this up to being a scaredy cat. I think there was some popular movie at the time, or I had watched something that got to me, so I didn't put a lot of thought into how I felt at the house. It was dark, old, and I was a young girl in an area of town I wasn't all too familiar with, caring for an infant. Anyone in my position would be slightly creeped out. Eventually, they moved out of the house, and for 12 years, I didn't think about it. Until about 4 months ago, when I was helping Dee, her two children, and her new fiancé move out of their current home. While taking a break for some girl talk, she mentioned that she believed this current home to be haunted. She explained that she would find her things had moved in the bathroom while she was taking a shower, her children's toys played with while they were out visiting with their dad and stepmom. The topic brought up the brownstone in the old city. Dee told me she hated being in that house. During her time there, her son learned to talk. There were quite a few times she heard him giggling on the baby monitor and running around his room when he was supposed to be napping. When Dee would go upstairs to check on him, he was sitting in his crib giggling at something in his room. She never saw anything. So, she told him to lay down, take a nap. That was that. Near the end of their time in the house, Dee heard her son's ball bouncing in the upstairs hallway and witnessed it thrown against the wall. She spoke, and the activity stopped. As she climbed the stairs, she could see her baby son sitting in his crib watching. Dee told me she eventually did some research and found that a child had died at the turn of the 20th century in that back room, of which I was so afraid. I don't know how true it is, and I didn't look into it, but up until that point, I never spoke a word to anyone about what I felt in that house. I've heard over the years that sometimes people witness paranormal activity in areas near large bodies of water. The house is located a block away from the shores of the mighty Delaware River. Hope you read this on your show because I'm a big fan, but also wonder if others have had similar experiences near water. Love the show, guys. Thank you so much for giving us an outlet.
Sometimes I wonder if it's not so much the water in a setting like this as much as people settled along the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so the older homes and are usually down there, or the older buildings. And maybe that's more what it is in this case.
Just the history and all the people that have come and gone,
mm-hmm.
more than anything. And then the water acts more as a conduit.
It could, but I'm just saying more so that it's the reason people settled
sure.
in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets blamed on the water, but maybe it's not the water and, a house that's a block away from the river.
Mm-hmm. It's just the setting mm-hmm. and just the people that have come and gone. Thanks for sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Continuing on to our next story, Christopher writes in, "Hello, guys. This is the second story that I'm telling and have a few others. I lived in Connecticut at the time this happened. My grandfather had just passed away. He was not always the nicest guy out there, very strict individual. My uncle flew back to Connecticut from Seattle for the wake and the funeral, and after all the proceedings had happened, he went back to their house where my grandmother resided now. He was alone in the house. The very next day after the funeral, he was going through some of his old items and either keeping or throwing things out. He heard creaking and stopped what he was doing. He then heard the TV come on in his old bedroom. It freaked him out a bit. He went in there and turned it off, went back to what he was doing. Then a couple minutes later, he heard the TV come back on and yelled, 'Jim, my grandfather, stop it. You're freaking me out.' He went in there and unplugged the TV, turned around and went back to what he was doing. No more than 2 minutes later, the TV went on unplugged and all the lights dimmed in the room. My uncle said he was so freaked out and ran out of the room and out of the house and stayed in a hotel the remainder of his short trip to Connecticut. My uncle stated he gave me hell when he was alive. Now that he's dead, he's still giving me hell. He refused to stay there after that happened. Fast forward a few years later, and my grandmother passed away. Everyone was devastated. She was very sweet and kind, the kind of grandmother you read books about or see on TV. She'd give you her last dollar if you wanted it. At the time, my parents' house in Connecticut was newly built. I'll explain why this is important in a second. We went to the wake and the funeral. That night, I'm watching TV in my bed, and my TV just turns off. I couldn't find the remote. I go, 'Grandma, I was watching that. I can't find the remote.' Next thing I know, while looking under my bed, the TV goes back on. I was baffled. I thought nothing of it. Went back to bed. Then I looked at my door, and it was open slightly. I go, that's weird. I know I shut that. Just as I was looking at the door, it slowly shut like someone was on the other side of it, slowly closing it until it clicked. Remember, this is a new house, and nothing like this has ever happened. For a good 2 months, about a couple of times a week, my door would just open, then slowly shut a few times a week. I thought it was air and nothing. I debunked that quickly. We also had almost daily lights flickering in many rooms. We would all see it, sometimes to brand new light bulbs. Remember, this has never happened before she passed away. Then many of my family members would smell my grandma's perfume on many occasions and a few times in different cars in that 2 month time frame. We have many other occurrences, but I did not witness it or it didn't happen to me directly. So I'll not say those. We all came to the conclusion that we believed for a couple months after my grandmother died. And she watched over us. None of us minded it. Felt safer in that house having her look over. Thanks, Grandma. R.I.P. I'll send other stories in soon.
Do you think both the grandparents just hung on for a couple months until they realized, oh, maybe I should move on?
Maybe that's it. It's just kind of making sure everybody's going to be okay without them,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, and just see how, I mean, I'd be curious to see how the family, you know, functions, you know, when I'm old and see how everybody's getting along. Not like I feel like they're not going to get along without me. I just would want to kind of observe the dynamic, the new dynamic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably just a lot of curiosity to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being at your own funeral or something, kind of like that. That'd be an event I'd like to go to. Unfortunately, you probably can't.
Yeah.
Although some people do have their own funerals before they die.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting trend.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will become more of a thing someday, just with all the narcissism in the world.
Right. You know? That's like the most narcissistic funeral you could have.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, it's so blatant today, you know, just with everybody and the barrage of selfies that people take mm-hmm. for no real reason. It's like, seriously. I could totally see things like that becoming very commonplace. And it's not so much in a situation where, because there are situations where I think that kind of makes sense, where the person is, you know, really ill and they want to get together with their family one more time. And, you know, rather than everybody show up at the funeral and you're already dead and you want to just see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of a funeral. It's kind of a get together.
That's different.
Sure. But some people kind of treat it like a funeral almost, you know, because it's like, oh, it's the last time we're going to see you. You know, it's along those lines. You're not like laying in a casket and then visiting while they're alive. I get it in some of those situations, but I could see this being more so not those situations at all.
They want to just be there to see what people are going to say about them.
It's like it's Aunt Brittany's fourth funeral. She thought she was going to kick it last year and that didn't happen. There's like no real medical proof that you're dying. It's just she doesn't feel very good, but she's just old, you mm-hmm. know, and it's just the narcissism is there of I want everyone to swoon in on me and I'm really not dying, but I'm going to keep doing this year after.
Wow.
It's going to happen. It will be a thing. And I ain't going to attend any of it.
No.
Probably still won't have any friends then anyhow. But, you know, even if I did and they were doing this, I would not participate in the faux funeral.
No, somebody better be dead if I'm going to a funeral.
If they promise to sit in the casket and actually really do the funeral thing, not just make it like a get together and about the person for like the fourth time. I would go if they were actually sitting in the casket.
Okay.
And you could visit a little bit. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be weird.
It would be weird. Especially if it was closed casket and they were still alive, but they were just kind of speaking through like a little hole in the side, a little mesh hole, almost like a confessional.
Mm.
Be great fun.
Okay.
Great fun. Brooke writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I tried to call my story in because I know that's the fastest way to get played, but I just get way too nervous to spit it out. So I figured I'd just write it into you. I've been seeing this shadowy figure continuously for the past 2 years, and my first occurrence with him happened when I was home with what you lovingly refer to as the scurvy. Stomach flu, in this case. I was sick, but not to the point I was hallucinating or running a fever. I was just the puking part. I don't mean to be gross, but it helps to understand this was a legit occurrence and not just symptoms. I was home recovering and felt better by the end of the night. So when I went to bed, I said goodnight to my family after being quarantined and locked the door behind me. I woke up in the middle of the night being freezing cold and realized I was in a bout of sleep paralysis as I couldn't move whatsoever. I was shifting my eyes, trying to get them to adjust to my surroundings. And my nightlight in my room, yes, still scared of the dark all these days, I see a strange shadow man with a typical hat, trench coat type combo. And I can't see his face. He's sitting in my desk chair, face towards me, like he's been watching and waiting for me for some time. But this is not a watchful guardian figure at all. Somehow, I just know he's a very dark type of evil, and it's radiating hatred and wants me to fear it. My sleep paralysis was wearing off at this point, and he wasn't going away, so I feel about ready to pee myself with fright. I noticed a very bizarre, trippy tunnel vision effect happened to me, and the man began to rise from the chair, immensely tall in his trench coat, turning misty as he began to rise to his feet. And no, Tony, I don't have any carbon monoxide, and I have one of those nifty little detectors. This is when I noticed I felt my energy leave me in a sense. I felt he was sucking my fear and emotions out of me, almost like he was trying to take my life force. Last thing I can remember is somehow waking up the next morning, feeling drained and like I never even slept. I looked around frantically for the figure, but he was gone. He did, however, leave me a token of his visit. On the chair he was sitting in sat my black top hat from a photo shoot from months back. I'd stuffed the thing in my closet under a bunch of sweaters and God knows what else, but there it was, perfectly placed in the center of the seat. The closet door still closed as it had been before. I ran downstairs and asked my parents and siblings if they somehow got into my room the previous night, and they all looked at me like I was crazy. And my mom joked about how nobody wanted to go into the germ pit, aka my room. I felt sick to my stomach for completely different reasons than a flu at that point. And I begged my mom to let me go to school so I wouldn't have to stay home and have another encounter. Well, I didn't have any more encounters with him for another few months or so. But those other stories are for another day, as this is long enough already. Love your show, Tony and Jenny. Your cute, bickering, married couple conversations and debates give me a nice laugh through the workday. P.S. Tony, you should sell demon detectors with your demon away spray. It's like carbon monoxide detectors, but they beep when the paranormal shit begins to act up in your house. Thanks for reading, Brooke.
I would want to go to school, too.
If we had a demon detector?
No, after seeing that on your sick day or your mm-hmm. evening of your sick day, I'd want to go.
That would really spoil it. Mm-hmm. I would really... I wouldn't like that. Did you ever fake sicknesses when you were a kid to stay home?
No, because I was sick a lot when I was a kid.
Sure.
So it wasn't fun.
It wasn't like, oh, I deserve a sick day because I'm going to school so much. It's
I most likely had allergies as a child as I do now, mm-hmm. and I have asthma.
And never treated?
Probably had as a child as well.
Yeah.
So I was sick a lot because in East Texas, there's wonderful mold spores
sure.
in the pine trees.
Yeah.
And inevitably, I would get it, and then it would kind of turn into a throat thing,
yeah.
and then it would turn into a coughing bronchitis kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I never faked being sick because I was sick a lot.
So it was never then looked at as like, what's causing this allergies? It was more like, oh, she has bronchitis mm-hmm. or something, instead of like, what can we do to stop it from happening to begin with?
You know, if anybody ever said strep around me, I got strep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think that I've ever been allergy tested per se, but... Mm-hmm. I know I feel a lot better on allergy meds now.
Sure.
So
it does wonders.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I as a kid, it's kind of funny because I had allergies all the time, and we always thought it was mold and pollen because there's a lot of that mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. But it turns out I think it was the cat.
Yeah.
That I was allergic to. And I did get tested for allergies. Cat never showed up.
That's so weird.
So I don't know if I like developed it, you know, later. Because the test was, I was pretty young.
Sure.
And then it was just like, I was like, oh, this is some old. And either that or I think my mom might have loved the cat a little bit more. Just slightly. She's listening right now. Walking through a cemetery going, I didn't love the cat. Well, sometimes. That's depending on how you were being that day. That's what's going on right now. Hi, Mom. 855-853-4802 is the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Do they have allergy medicine for pets? Like pets, you know, there's some pets that just like sneeze a lot. And I wonder, do they have allergies? And
yeah.
Can it be treated?
Pets can have allergies.
Yeah, but like, do we treat them though?
I don't think so. But like our type of dog, they, yeah. I was reading about this just like the other day that it can have allergies, and that causes like the tear staining, mm-hmm. you know, that you see on a lot of white dogs.
Sure.
And it's like, what do they do for that?
That could be a whole other industry somebody can make a ton of money on. Pet allergy medicines.
Because Bear sneezes and it's adorable, but yeah. I'm sure he doesn't enjoy sneezing.
Yeah. It's like animals look at us going, oh, look, the people are sneezing again. Isn't that adorable? And just as we look at them, oh, isn't that cute? Here you go. Allegra for dogs. Everybody takes it together or make it interchangeable for humans and pets.
Not a good idea.
Probably wouldn't work. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Mariah writes in, hi guys, I'm a new fan, but very quickly I have become addicted and will become an EPP member in the future. I have a few smaller stories that I'd love to share. Grew up with both my mother and grandmother teaching me it's okay to be open to spiritual encounters. First paranormal experience I've had was after we moved into a new home when I was about 5 or 6. I've always been distinctly aware of the presence in a room or vibe without even needing to enter. House had a very light feel, but as soon as I entered the room that would become mine, it felt very uneasy and heavy. Of course, being a 5-year-old, I didn't care much, or didn't care much once everything was moved in and overall ignored how I felt. My mom worked during the day, so my grandmother would come over and babysit me while she was gone. I remember one day I wanted to go play on the computer, which at the time the only one was in my mom's room, directly next to mine. So I whipped around the corner to charge in, and I froze instantly at the door. On the inside of her window, which was to the left diagonally from her doorway, was a tall black shadow man with what looked like an outline of a hat and baggy clothes. And I knew he was staring at me. He wasn't the average shadow person I hear about, though, because in his chest was this very bright blue pulsing sphere. But by the time all this really processed, I was already running and screaming into the living room where my grandmother was, where we all walked back together into my mom's room, but of course nothing was there. A lot of things that happened to that house, to me specifically, in the 2 short years I lived there, but none of which were really as enraging as that. Anyone who went into my room, though, would always mention the unsettling feeling it held in that house. I at first started to get extremely ill, which lasted for several years. After with no doctor ever figuring out what it was. After that, I really tried to close myself off from any type of spiritual thing that opened because I was fearful of who or what I may attract. I've always been deeply drawn to the field, though. As I've gotten older, I've read and learned more about it and to how to feel a presence, or if I feel a presence with me, and how to say something is moved in the room I'm in, and I'll usually playfully ask them what they're doing or politely, but sternly ask them to stop. Although part of me is still very weary of what I could attract, I don't want to close off any form of friendly ghost just passing by. Thank you guys so much. Love the podcast, and I can't wait to hear more.
I think sometimes you either have to close it all off or let it all in. You can't just weed through your ghosts and
pick and choose,
cherry pick which ones you want.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, unless you're like really, really sensitive and you're able to really hone that in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think most people are. I think most people are like, I think when you're talking about sensitive people, I think a lot of them are more like, I'd say your average is 7 or 8 of the more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while you get a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes where you can have a little more control over it.
I think you'd have to be a full-on medium to be able to do that, to decipher who's what.
Yeah. And then even then, are you really shutting it out? Or are you just finding a way to distract yourself from noticing?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for writing in and sharing that with us. Raymond writes in, this event took place in my aunt's farmhouse in the mid-60s. This house was the site of many paranormal occurrences in my youth. My family has always experienced unexplainable occurrences involving spirits. The story takes place in the Yakima Valley of eastern Washington. This area was near the site of a homestead belonging to an old pioneer by the name of Ben Snipes. The farmhouse my family lived in sat about 30 yards off a long gravel road that led to Snipes Mountain. I remember the county would oil the road to keep the dust down, and this would cause the sand and the gravel to harden into the brown, crusty, and funny-smelling surface. Never encountered the unique method of surface sealing anywhere else. Makes my childhood memories of this place even more unique and special. The house faced an open field to the south that had not grown any type of crop in many years, but beyond that barren field grew lush green hops. The same was true directly behind the house and far to the east. Across the gravel road and rows of grapes, but a fourth mile up the road to the north towards the mountain was an irrigation canal that was the lifeblood of this lush valley. My aunt had two young sons at the time this story takes place. My oldest cousin was 5 and my youngest cousin 3 at the time. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon when she put the boys down for a nap. When she was sure the boys were asleep, she began cleaning the house, mopping the floor to the kitchen, which was at the front of the old house. It was an everyday chore. The front door and only entrance to the house led right into the kitchen, and my hard-working uncle was always successful at tracking in sand after a long day working to provide for his young family. When she was finished mopping and letting the floor dry, she went into the bedroom to check on the boys. To her shock and surprise, her youngest son was not in bed. She began looking through the house for him. It didn't take long, as this was a small house with 2 bedrooms, a kitchen, living room, and bathroom. There was also an upstairs that was basically an attic with a finished floor, wall, and ceilings. The attic was eventually turned into a bedroom and was the source of many future paranormal occurrences. After checking the house and not finding her son, she ran outside and began calling his name, circling the house frantically. She gazed down the road and scanned the field for any sight of him. Nothing. As she turned to the north towards the mountain, a great fear arose in her, and she recalled the danger that wound its way through the valley. The irrigation canal, churning and flowing with great speed at this time of year, provided water to crops for miles around. She sprinted the full 1/4 mile to the canal and began running along the canal bank, looking for any sign that my cousin might have been there. To her horror, she noticed small cowboy boot footprints in the saturated soil along the bank. She ran following the tracks, eventually coming to a spot where there appeared to have been a small indentation in the ground where a body had fallen, knee depressions and handprints imprinted in the compacted mud bank. Finally, seeing claw marks digging deep into the soft bank left behind by 2 little hands belonging to the small child who had fallen and slipped in the cold, rushing waters. And then, undisturbed canal bank for as far down as she could see. She turned back towards the road and ran as fast as she could, her mind racing, thinking of the steps she should take next, call the operator and ask her to send the police. Then dread swept over her. Living in the country had its benefits. The star-filled nights away from the city and all the lights. Quiet living most of the time except during harvest. She knew the teenage neighbors a couple of miles down the road would be on the phone and they could talk for hours. The agony of living with a party line telephone system. Next, she knew there was grass beneath her feet, and she was across her yard in a flash. She opened the screen door, and the first thing she noticed about her recently mopped kitchen floor were the footprints. Dirty, muddy footprints made by a very small pair of cowboy boots. Following the tracks through the kitchen and into the living room, rushing into the boys' room, she sees before her 2 little boys she laid to nap just minutes before. Both laid in the exact same spots and positions they had fallen asleep in. And there next to the bed, standing upright and placed neatly side by side, were her son's muddy boots.
So it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fall into the river. Or if he went there, something got him home and cleaned up in a hurry.
Think ghost child wearing the boots?
Maybe.
Not wanting to get dirty? I don't know. It's very bizarre.
It is. It could go a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
It's definitely on the unexplained.
Especially with the claw marks that were found out there. Thank you for that one. That's weird and creepy and unexplained.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Momo writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. I just recently discovered your podcast while finding something to listen to while drawing. I've heard many stories on your podcast, but I don't think I've heard a story like mine, or I don't think so. Since I just started listening, which I was 6 years old when I moved into my grandmother's house in India before she passed away. When I was about 7 or 8, I remember how I used to get weird vibes from the house. Just hated being there. I remember this memory very vividly. It was one night and I was going to sleep in my room and I was awoken by a very cold and heavy draft on my face. I opened my eyes and there was this deep red demon. This with, I think, 4 or 3 horns. I couldn't make out any other features since it was so dark. I remember it tilting its body to face directly above me. I screamed because it moved away from my face and evaporated. I then ran to my parents' room and told them everything, but they thought it was just my imagination since I used to be creative as a child. Nevertheless, I didn't sleep for 2 days. Another memory I have of this demon is more clear, which proves that it wasn't my imagination. It was when I left the home because my parents were going to my older brother's fourth grade soccer game. My aunts were on their way from a grocery store trip. My parents had asked them the day before if they could take care of me. Tirelessly waiting for my aunts to come, I started to play in my room with an Elmo toy I had. Then I heard a knocking at the door. I, being 7, was too short to look through the peephole, so I just assumed it was my aunts. I was using a stool to prop myself up and open the door since I was very, very short. I then unlocked the door, but it wouldn't open. I tried my hardest, but it just wouldn't budge. The knocking got louder, and I was desperately trying to open the door when suddenly I heard something in the kitchen behind me. It was like a crash. So I hesitantly went to go see what it was, even though being scared shitless, I saw that the demon again was there, but more clear since it was in the daytime or afternoon. It had a dark aura around it. So dark it looked void. It had pitch black eyes, long and slim arms and legs, no nose or hair. It was knocking things over and destroying my kitchen counter and chairs. I went upstairs to my room and hid underneath the blankets, covering my ears because the loud clanking of the demon scared me, totally forgetting about the knocking since I was more scared of this demon thing. I didn't care to open the door or go downstairs. A couple of minutes later, my aunts came in and started calling my name. I ran downstairs, hugged them, crying hysterically. I told them about what happened. They thought it was, again, my imagination, and I distinctly remember looking over at the kitchen and seeing it spot on as if it had never been touched. About 3 years ago, I mentioned to my mother the demon, and she told me, on that day of my brother's fourth grade soccer game, my aunts were making their way to my house. I lived in a fairly forested area. When they saw a man outside my house banging on the door, she said my aunts saw he was short and dirty looking and was trying to get in the house since he was jiggling the doorknob so furiously and banging so loud on the door that it left dents. My aunt screamed at the man and threatened to call the cops. The man left, and they went inside to check if I was okay. I like to think that this demon or something was trying to distract me and get me away from this man because I've had more experiences with it, and they're all good experiences, although I've always gotten threatening and dreadful vibes from it. I'll definitely be sending in more stories about the demon if you're interested and surely becoming a future EPP member. Love your podcast.
See, I was not thinking that the demon was separate than the creepy guy trying to break in.
Okay.
I thought maybe that's how he was showing up.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting take on it, that he thought the demon was trying to distract him from this creepy guy, which isn't really how they work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really thinking it's more so the creepy guy is the demon.
Yeah.
And maybe there was something else, maybe something good, separate, that really has nothing to do with other experiences. Or maybe that does have to do with the other, you know, semi-positive experiences mm-hmm. that they've had after this situation. That it's not all the same dark thing.
Right.
I think there's like maybe two things at play here. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get bonus episodes of the show every single week. Access to all of the previous ones. They're all up there for you, almost like 170 or so of them. So you can binge away on those. Some of the best ghost stories you've ever had on those episodes. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.